Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And Sour Humanoid!
When I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested. And all thumbs up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Recovery Rocks. It's your girl, Tawny, joined by my fabulous BFF co-host slash mentor slash everything slash Shiro.
Lisa. Oh, my goodness. It's Lisa.
In case you forgot. So let's talk about burnout. This is a not so sexy topic, but unfortunately a very relatable topic. A lot of people are feeling exhausted, burned out, overwhelmed, just done, like just really, really tired, and not just like taking a nap. Like people are feeling truly exhausted right now. And we have a lot of theories that we will unpack, as well as some, as an article in the New York Times, we're going to quote just about burnout. But before we get into that, is there anything you want to say on the topic, Lisa?
No, I just, I think, you know, I talk about burnout a lot when I speak to law firms because, you know, very much experienced in the field, in the profession. But it's funny because burnout tends to be like this nebulous, like not quite defined, like I'm feeling really burnt out, whatever. But what does that mean? And, you know, there are physical things that are happening in your body when you're constantly stressed out. It's basically a feeling of being just overwhelmed, and that overwhelm makes it hard to function. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go through from the article too what to look out for, because this article is particularly about work burnout, but I think given, you know, anybody, parents are burned out, like anybody who is, you know, life is hard today and it's super stressful and it takes a toll on our body. And we can't, at a certain point, you can't go on.
Yeah.
And
it's,
I think
it's not, it's not sustainable.
It's not really sustainable. Right.
It's the thing. So I'll just share a little bit of my personal burnout and let you, and then we'll go into this article. You know, book came out in September, book tour shortly followed. I got married. Like there's a lot of, really great, exciting things happening right now. And I'm overwhelmed and exhausted and overworked. So all of these things can be true at the same time, right? So for me, I know that I'm feeling burned out when it's tough for me to get out of bed. I want to take naps. I always take naps, don't get me wrong. But there are times when like yesterday I took a 3-hour nap. Like that's a long nap for me. I usually just take like a 30 minute to an hour nap.
Yeah.
I forget to drink water. I forget to eat. I really just forget to do yoga. I forget to take care of myself. You know, these things that are essential to not just thrive, but to survive. I've just been slacking on. I've not been getting acupuncture lately. That was a big part of my self-care for a while. And I'm like too busy to take care of myself. And that's not a good place to be. And so I told Nick last night, I was just like, I just want you to know that I'm very aware of everything that's going on right now. I'm aware that I'm burned out. I'm not doing the things that I normally do to feel better. And I'm also like taking more, like I've talked about using cannabis in my recovery. I'm taking more gummies than I want to because my anxiety is so high, but it's also like, I need to get to the root of the problem. Like, why is my anxiety high? Because the gummies and naps and acupuncture, that's all, those are just band-aids. I need to address the root of the problem. So last night I was just like, Nick, I just want you to know, I know I'm aware of my behaviors and what's going on, and I'm working on them. And I also let him know a couple things he could do that would help me, like remind me to drink water. If you can do more cooking this week, that would be really helpful. Just letting him know what would help me. And then he lets me know what he can do, you know?
Right.
But like, that's how burnout shows up for me. Do you relate to any of that?
I do, because it is also, we did an episode recently where we talked about taking care of our physical health, how like, you know, you can do things like forget to drink water and all that. And in part, you're just dealing, that's part of that is a result of being, having like that overwhelm. So I think when I talk about burnout in the, you know, and like I said, I think this is the workplace, but I think it's at anywhere else too. The way that it's been defined that I find as a helpful definition is a debilitating response to chronic stress, right? So it's from stress that can have serious psychological and physiological effects. And the causes can include, this is when you have to watch out for burnout. If these things are happening, you may be on a road to burnout, right? A decline in feeling of autonomy, independence, and control over decisions affecting your personal resources, right? So we talk about our energy budget a lot. Mm. And when you lose control of your managing your energy budget, because there's all these demands placed on you and all these deadlines and all these things that seem like you have to, the chemicals that get triggered and all the stress reactions are going to happen. Overwhelming workload. And then also the one that I think, you know, we've really seen since COVID and is also contributing to that feeling of not, you know, being able to function in a way is a lack of feeling community and meaningful communication with others.
Yeah, that's real. And you talking about that, the definition of burnout, it reminds me of this workbook that I have. The doctor and author Emily Nagoski she's written several books, but this one in particular, she wrote a book called Burnout. And then there's also a workbook component called the Burnout Workbook, advice and exercises to help you unlock the stress cycle. And I've been using this workbook lately, and it's really interesting. She talks about the stress cycle where it's like, you know, go back to like caveman era of the fight or flight. You're being chased by a tiger. You're running, you know, and that is how you're releasing that stress. So we in modern society, we have gotten pretty far from that, where we feel these, a lot of our stresses now are not, we're very rarely being chased by tigers, that we do have all of these other stresses, a lot of which are internal. Yeah. Things happening in our own home, in our jobs, in our lives. So we need to acknowledge the stress, and then we also need to release that stress. And which is why, you know, she talks a lot about like somatic therapy, somatic release. Just like for me, like some examples of what I'm doing to release the stress, like screaming into a pillow. You know, I love to go to these break rooms and smash a bunch of shit. You have, like, I go to the gym, I do yoga. Like, you have to physically move your body to release the stress. And I highly recommend, if this is resonating with you at all, highly recommend checking out Emily Nagoski's book, Burnout, or at least the workbook, Burnout.
I mean, we'll put that in the show notes so you can click it.
And then, so let's go to the article, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a New York Times article. It's actually from, let's see, June of this year, June of 23, Melinda Moyer. This book, the article is called Your Body Knows You're Burned Out. Here's how to recognize the physical symptoms of work-related stress and what to do about them. So I'm going to read a little bit of the intro that I really resonated with. Says Dr. Jesse Gold, a psychiatrist at Washington University in St. Louis, knows she's edging toward burnout when she wakes up, feels instantly angry at her email inbox, and doesn't want to get out of bed.
Yes.
I hard relate. Hard relate. And then it goes on to talk about statistics and what to do. I wanted to share, I highlighted this section. Oh, here it is. Okay. She does a great job of talking about how you can't just quote unquote self-care your way out of burnout.
Yes. I love that. That is so important. And that's what you were talking about, like taking longer naps and all that. That's not going to get at the root. Right. Right.
It's not getting at the root. So I'm going to read this section about the self-care part. So she says, despite pop culture coverage of this issue, burnout cannot be, quote, fixed with better self-care. Let's see, because it lays the blame and responsibility on those with burnout, and it implies that they should do more to feel better.
So
much to unpack there. But you and I were talking, Lisa, we were talking about how the burnout that I'm feeling in particular is like, yes, like the book launch and stuff, but it's also just modern day capitalism. It's just really hard to live right now. As someone who has like, who juggles so many freelance and contract jobs, everyone that I know in my line of work is feeling this because we're all juggling multiple jobs, none of which have any security, you know? And again, I'm aware I chose this route. I chose to be a writer. I could go get a job with a salary and benefits. I am aware of that. But I think it's also important to talk about the real life implications of choosing the creative life and the burnout that comes from it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That is, it's the 24/7 nature of it all too, that I think hit a lot of people during COVID when work became home, like there was no cutting it off. But I think back, I mean, yeah, I'm much older. But when I was in my most stressful job as a junior associate in big corporate law in New York City and living just with chronic imposter syndrome and depression that and anxiety that had been undiagnosed and untreated and was beginning to really self-medicate to the point of addiction to alcohol, even then, like my life was, you know, you had to be in the office. And, you know, if I got into the office around 9:30 in the morning, I would have woken up at whatever time I woke up. And until I got into, you know, I had to take a shower, have breakfast, listen to the news, whatever it is. And I had no contact with anything at work. You know, I usually went to the gym first, right? Yeah. So by the time I rolled into work, you know, I had started my day hours before I ever saw an email. And then I would be there until the work was done, which could be 11 o'clock at night, frequently, but sometimes all night, depending on what was going on with the deal. But when I left that office, Unless you were going to call me at, 3 a.m. on my landline, which certainly happened, not, totally out of character, certainly happened. I was out of touch from 11 when I walked out of there until 9:30 the next morning when I walked in, right? And there is no break now for anybody. And so I think about what that job has got to be like for people. You can't, just the inability to turn off now, I think makes the risk of burnout so much higher.
It's very real. It's so true. Like I quit my day job in February, and I liked having a day job because it gave me something menial to do and I could clock out. I needed that. I mean, obviously, and money and health insurance, but creatively, I needed a day job to help. It helped me. It honestly helped me having that day job. It's being on 24/7 is a lot. And it's also worth noting that I genuinely like what I do. I like writing. I like podcasting. I like writing my newsletter. I like doing book events and talking to readers. Like, I genuinely like all these things, and they take a lot out of me. And I'm learning how to budget my energy for this new era. This is what my life looks like now. I'm speaking and I'm going to these events. And so it's using a different amount of energy. But it's, there's that old adage of like, if you find what you love and you never work a day in your life, that's bullshit. Because
that is bullshit.
I love what I do, and it's exhausting. It feels like
and it's stressful too.
It's harder. I think for people who follow that, like, do what you love and you never work a day in your life, it's a little harder to spot burnout in my line of work because I'm working for myself and it's mostly enjoyable. Most of my work is enjoyable. There's stuff that I hate, don't get me wrong. But it makes it a lot harder to be aware of the burnout because I'm quote unquote living my dream,
Right.
Like, I'm going on a book tour. I'm doing like all these really exciting things. So there's this expectation that I should be loving every minute of it, which is just not the case.
Yeah. And it is stress that's involved in, there's stress involved in needing to be on. There's stress involved in worrying about what the reaction you're going to get, like all of those things, but also just the physically moving around. I think we should kind of run through a couple of the signs that show. Yes. Yeah, so the article, which is linked in the show notes, notes the first and very common burnout symptom is insomnia. And I know the way in this study, they found when researchers studied frontline healthcare workers during the pandemic, they found that 55% reported having difficulty falling asleep, while nearly 40% had nightmares. And that's the chronic stress in there. It also can keep you, for me, like my insomnia comes up as not so much not being able to fall asleep, but the inability to stay asleep. Most nights I'm up at sometime between 12:30 and 1, and then again around 3. And sometimes I can get myself back to sleep, and sometimes I can't, because I begin catastrophizing. And if I don't have something to catastrophize about, I figure out something to catastrophize about. And, that leads to physical exhaustion, which is another common sign of burnout. You're just tired, right? You're just moving at a different pace. Change in eating habits, either more or less, can be a sign of that.
Or like I said earlier, if it's like 3 o'clock and you just realized you haven't eaten anything.
Oh my gosh.
Like that's a big deal. That's a significant thing. Like if you are too busy to drink water and eat, then something needs to be reassessed.
Yes, yes, definitely. And then headaches and stomach aches also. So, you know, and you can just feel achy. You don't feel right. You don't feel like yourself. And then, you know, about what to do about it, like this article says, is exactly what Tawny says. Try to address the root of the problem, right? And I like what it said here, which was think about the pebbles in your shoe all the time that you have to deal with, right? It's like constantly there. That's like the 24/7 thing I was talking about. So, you know, I think also there's a lot to be gained. You know, you and not everybody has the ability to really change a lot of these situations, right? Because you need to be in that job. You need to be in that caretaking role, in whatever role it is that, that is really burning you out. But I think knowing also just being able to recognize it and go, like everything else, right? Like if I can give it a name and recognize what it is and go, oh,
yes,
this is what it is. I'm feeling really burnt out. Then it's out in, it's not just like festering. It's out in the world. And it is, you can look at it and examine it and go, yes, this sucks right now. And as I can, I'm going to try to address these things that are, you know, so that I can sleep better at night. I'm going to make sure I, whatever it is, but also say, I'm going to give myself a little grace because this is what's going on with me right now.
And that's exactly what I'm trying to do. And why I was very upfront with Nick about this is just like, I know what's going on. I'm working on it. And here are some things that you could do that would, that I would really appreciate.
That's, yes, really,
that's all that you can do. You know, I talk to my therapist regularly. I talk to, you know, you close, like other close friends. Because like you said, naming it, like knowing I'm burned out, knowing there's an article to read about it, knowing there's a podcast to listen to or a book, that helps me to know that there's resources. And I'm also aware of like, my life is changing. You know, I really am shifting into a new era of my career. So how can I make space for that? I'm trying to figure that out. Like, if my, you know, my goals are to do book events and public speaking regularly. So how am I going to manage my energy budget so I can do that? I can make money. I can enjoy my job. So what do I have to say no to so I can say yes to these opportunities? So right. I'm really also in this era of exploration and figuring out what I need to take off my plate. And it's funny, this morning I asked Nick, I was just like, you know, randomly just remind me not to put anything else on my plate. That would be really helpful. And he just goes, why would you add anything to your plate? You're just going to drop it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Thank you. I needed that.
Well, it kind of reminds me in our tarot world, the way you and I discuss this all the time is the Ten of Wands, right?
Yes.
Like, being in the wand suit, which represents our energy and our pilot light, kind of like our pilot light for life. You know, the culmination of going through this whole big journey of following your passion, and what you end up with at the 10, which is the highest number, you end up with all these wands on your back going up a hill. The person is going up a hill with a whole thing of wands on their back, and you see in the distance where they're trying to get to, and it looks so far, and it makes you go,
yeah,
you've got it. Which wands can you put down?
And that is the exercise. Every time I pull that card, I think about, I had a reading where the, you know, Mariana, Persephone's sister, we've taken some classes with her. I pulled a Ten of Wands with her, and she was just like, so your homework is to name, identify these 10 wands. What are the 10 wands you're carrying, and which ones can you put down? And so that every time I pull that card, whether it's I mentally make a list or I physically make a list, it reminds me we're not meant to carry 10 wands forever. And you need to be aware of what the wands are that you are carrying, which ones are important, which ones can you carry later?
Right. I remember we've said this to each other. I've said it to you, you know, put it down. You can pick it up later. You don't have to abandon it, you mm-hmm. know? So I think that's, you know, I think being, and like, you know, being able to say to yourself to not just keep to go, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not eating right. I all of a sudden I don't sleep right anymore. I'm not sleeping the way I usually sleep. All of that and being able to go, what's going on, just can give you a little perspective. It's like leaving your body, going up higher, looking down and seeing what's happening and going, whoa, that's too much.
It really is. It is a zoom out of like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
this shit ain't working. What are we going to do about it? But like you said, it's giving myself grace. I'm in a big state of transition right now. So there's really nothing that I can do other than give myself grace and be patient. And I will figure it out because I have my resources. You know, I have my therapist, I have my medication, I have a support system. I know I'll figure it out, but in the meantime, it's going to look like saying no more than I want to and setting boundaries and
other
hard stuff. But this is what I've been training for, Elisa.
I think you have been. I think that's a very good way to put it.
Yeah.
And what would be the soundtrack to that? What would be your music minute? Do you have one on this?
I feel like I talk about Krungbin a lot on this show. When I clock out, when I make myself clock out, I listen to Krungbin. I just, whether it's in my headphones or on a Bluetooth speaker, and it's like, it's also signals to Nick. He knows, all right, Tawny's trying to chill out. This is her chill out music. So I just have it going like on a constant loop. Just their catalog. It just mellows me out. And also just listening, just remembering that listening to music is an option. I don't have to always be listening to an audiobook or a podcast. I can just listen to music and like dance around and cook, or, you know, like you don't have to be learning all the time.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. I would say, so it's funny because our conversation just triggered when I was talking about my landline. I thought about Blondie and Hanging on the Telephone, which is like one of my favorite Blondie songs. And I remember going back, this is probably like 25 years ago. We had my friends and I had tickets to see Blondie at the Hammersmith, like smaller club in New York. And I was so excited. And of course we went somewhere, some bar to drink first, and we're drinking. I'm seeing it's getting later. And this is like one of those clubs where like you stand on the floor, like it's not, you know, it was really not you know, not a big place at all. And I was like, you guys, we got to go. And I said, and they were like, one more. And I'm like, if we miss Hanging on the Telephone, I'm going to be so fucking mad at you. And we were meeting some other people who were there. And by the time we got there, our friend James was there and they were in their second song. And I'm like, James, what did I miss? And he's like, Hanging on the Telephone. I was like, fuck, you know?
Damn
so
it.
I don't know. It just brought me back to Blondie and, you know, I had to share that story. It was an amazing show, by the way.
I mean, I it's a little bit different because you missed the song, but I remember like when I saw the Chili Peppers and they didn't play Snow, I was devastated.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It just wasn't in their set list. I would be even more pissed if they played it and I missed it, you know?
Yes. I was so mad. But it was a great show.
So if you're listening and you're relating to anything that we're talking about today, take a breath, slow down, drink some water, read this article that we're going to include the free link in the show notes. So you can read this article. You can also listen to it, which, you know, we love an audio moment.
Yes.
A lot of us are burned out. We are not meant to have this much information thrown at us 24 hours a day.
Sensory overload.
It is. We are all overwhelmed. It's not just you. And there's so many resources out there, and we're going to link to a few of them in the show notes, but you're not alone. And if you have any tips for me, please let me know, because I'm struggling.
Yeah. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.